Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Beya Daf Yud Gimel. We begin on Yud Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Imkein, if so, what is the Gemara going back to? Yesterday we learned in the name of Rava, he had a chiddush for us that although you're not meant to actually thresh grain on Yom Tov, however, if it's done in a backhanded way, k'la'achar yad, such as picking the grain right off the stalk, moileil melilis, rubbing, rolling the stalk manually and extracting the grain in that manner, that's disha, but k'la'achar yad, and although an issur d'rabbanan on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov, Chacham suspended the issur on account of Simchas Yom Tov, Eichel Nefesh, they allow you to extract your grain in this manner. So according to Rava, moile melilis, rubbing, rolling the melilis, meaning extracting the grain straight out of the stalk, or seeds of mustard out of the mustard stalks, is mutar on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Imkein, if that's the case, that you can actually extract seeds on Yom Tov, why did the Mishnah tell us that there's no possibility, there's no option of having the Chiv Teruma arrive on Yom Tov? Right? We learned yesterday in the Mishnah that you certainly can't deliver Teruma to a Kohen on Yom Tov because you have no right to separate it on Yom Tov. What do you mean, says the Gemara in Kain, if that's the case, that you can be Moilel Melilais and bring it to its finished state on Yom Tov, which would activate the Chiv Teruma, which would obligate you to separate Teruma today? Oh, you found a case where you are allowed to separate Truma on Yom Tov. The Gemara is assuming if it turned into a finished product on Yom Tov, which activates the Tevel aspect, activates the Chi of Truma, then you meant to separate it even on Yom Tov. Here we have a case where Truma arrived on Yom Tov. And in the Mishnah we learned, Loi, im amres bet Truma, you can't compare the Chala to Truma. She'en is zakeh baramasa. Truma is not something which you can separate in Yom Tov. Here we have a case where you can. Loikasha, the answer is depending whose shita we're following. Oh, Rebbe. According to Shita's Rebbe, you're 100% right. This melila process activates the chi of Truma. It becomes tevel and requires separation of Truma, although you're not eating it in the conventional way. Typically, they would actually thresh all the stalks, pull out all the kernels, pile them up, and that's considered a finished grain, rather than just pulling them off these stalks and eating them directly like that. But according to Rebbe, that's also considered a finished grain, a finished process, gemar malacha, and it's chayav and truma. So you're right, according to Rebbe, you would have a kasha. Ha Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, but our Mishnah, which indicated that there is no chiv truma that can arrive on Yom Tov, is the other shita of Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, the son you learned in a brayse. Hechnes shibalin lasis men isa. If he delivers shibalin stalks into his house with the intent to process it properly, to take the kernels, to grind them, turn them into flour and into a dough eventually. Oichel mehen arai upater. So since he hadn't yet finished the process, he has yet to thresh, to winnow, to pile it up in a pile, which would complete the process. He's still before that. An unfinished product can be eaten achilas arai. You can have a snack from it and still be potter from maser. That's because it's unfinished. What happens if it's lemoilulam b'melilis? He delivered it to his home with the intent to eat it bit by bit straight off the stalk. Rabbi Mechayev. According to Rabbi, it's chayev and truma right now. Why? Because it's finished. There's nothing else to be done. He's no longer going to process it any further. So bringing this material into the home creates the chi of truma. It gives it chashiv. Now it's ready to be eaten. So introducing the item into the home when he has no plans of adding any further process to this material, it's considered gemar malach. It's considered ready for a meal. but has chashivas, and is chayv in truma. Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda poiter, according to Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, this is not chayv in truma. Pasuk says, degoncha. Rashi explains, ain't digun elo kibbutz bekri. Finished grain has to be piled up in a kri, a pile. That's called dogon, that's chayv in truma. But if you're going to eat it straight off the stalk, piece by piece, that's not called dogon. It's not called proper grain. And that wouldn't be chayv in truma and maser. Oh, so that answers our question. Our Mishnah said that there is no chayv truma on yontif. What do you mean? Meila melilis is mutar on yontif, which would activate truma. Answer is no. According to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, that's not chayv in truma. It's not dogon. According to Rabbi, you have a point. There is a possibility of a chiyuv truma arriving on yontif, moilel melilis, which is chayv and truma. Well, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda, nami mishkachasla. One second, according to Rabbi Yisi, we can still find a possible scenario where truma arrives on yontif, kigayin. Shehichnes shibolin, he brought the stalks into his home with the intent to do what with it? Lasos mehen isa, to form it into a dough, to thresh it, to winnow it, grind it. So it's unfinished. But the delivery, bringing it into the home, was a proper delivery. It was with the machshava to really process it properly. So phase one has been accomplished. The delivery was a proper delivery. He introduced it to his home for domestic use. It's just a pending status. He has to wait. He has to await the finishing of that processing. But the initiation has begun. Delivery in itself gives it chashivas. Look, it's intended for domestic use. I'm going to use it properly. Form it into a dough. That's where he's holding. So at this point, it's still pending. What happened? He changed his mind. Once it arrived into his home, so to achieve that first state, that first stage was accomplished. Yeah, change of heart. I'm no longer going to process. I'm just going to be moilo. I'm going to eat it right off the stalk. So even according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, in this case, it would be chayv and truma. Why? Explains Rashi. Because since the first phase of gemar melacha had been accomplished, when he brought it into the home, what did he have in mind? He didn't have melilos in mind, which is the unconventional way of consuming it. He had a proper plan in mind. I'm going to turn it into a dough. So the hachnosa labayis already gives it chashivas. So now when he changed his mind, once it's already in his home and he decided to use it for melilos, which would indicate that no more processing is needed. That's it. I'm going to eat it as is, straight off the stalk. It's called gmar melacha. It gets a din of goyin, of grain, a finished product. It sort of combines with the fact that you brought it into your home and now it's finished. Right? Bringing it into the home itself gives it chashivas. And now that I decide I'm going to eat it as is, so the process has not been completed. If I bring it in the shame malilis, I'm going to have it in this unconventional way. So the bringing it into the home is not a proper delivery. You're not really introducing it for proper domestic use. You're going to eat it off the stalks. That's not called a proper domestic use. But if I'm bringing it in to use it properly, so that's a conventional hachnosa labayis. And now I decide, you know what? It's good as it is. So now the process has been completed. You brought it in, and now it's finished. And now it's chayv and truma maaser. Has a din of gerd, has a din of finished product, finished grain. The tavla b'yayme. So this happened on yomtiv. He had this change of heart on yomtiv. Even according to the base of Yehuda, the tavla b'yayme. It would turn into tavla right then and there. Truma on yomtiv. So even according to the base, we have a situation where the chayv truma is applied on yomtiv itself. That's a kasha now Mishnah. That there is no truma on yomtiv. Says the Gemara. Elamai truma, rife truma. So you have to say like this, that the Mishnah is following all shittas. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, and even though you've come up with situations where there can be truma on yomtiv, the Mishnah is not referring to those isolated cases. For the most part, Rav Truma, typically there is no Chiv Truma on Yom Tov. Chiv Truma generally results from a proper processing process. Disha Miruach Kriya doesn't happen on Yom Tov. So although you happen to come up with some unconventional method to bring about a Chiv Truma, Meila Malilis, etc., okay, you're right. But typically there is no Chiv of Truma of Yom Tov. And therefore, the Mishnah works. The Mishnah is trying to say, look, Truma is not something which you meant to really do on Yom Tov. Typically it doesn't happen on Yom Tov, so you don't have the allowance as you have by the Chal and the Matonis. Omar Abaye, Machlokes B'Shibolim. You meant to know at this discussion between Rebbe, who says that Melilis has a din of Gemar Melacha and is Chayiv and Truma, whereas Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda disagrees. That's only when it comes to Shibolim, stalks of grain which are generally processed properly, threshed, winnowed, piled up as finished grain. Avo Bekitnius, when it comes to beans, where many people just take off a bit at a time, straight off the stalks, and throw it into their pot. It's something which is consumed bit by bit. Divrei HaKol all agree, Isuraisa, when they're still in their bundles, Tavla can become Tevel. So you bring it home to use it in this manner, that makes it Tevel. It's considered a finished product. Levi Masayeli, perhaps we'll have a right from the Braisa, actually a Mishnah in Tumas, which says like this, Mi Shehoilu Chavili Tilsim. This fellow had bundles of Tilsim, some type of beans used as seasoning for spice, shell tevel, they were tevel, harezet kaisish. So this fellow will go ahead and crush them to extract the seeds, umachashim, and he'll figure out, he'll estimate, kama zera yesh ben, how much seeds does he have? Umafresh ala zera, he'll do the afresh truma based on how many seeds there are, v'enu mafresh ala eitz, without reckoning for the stalks, for the stems themselves, which aren't edible. So here we have a Mishnah referring to bundles, intact bundles, as being tevel. How do you get that? My love, Rabbi Yisrael Rehuda. Shall we not say that perhaps this is even Rabbi Yisrael Rehuda, the Amar Hasam Le'tevel, who maintains that when it comes to grain, which isn't generally used in this manner, he won't consider it tevel. Hacha tevel, when it comes to beans, we do otherwise. We consider it to be a finished product in tevel. That's right. So Abayi says, but beans all agree it's an accepted manner of consumption and has a din of goyrin, a din of dog, a din of gemar melacha and tevel. Loi says, the more Rebbe, perhaps this Mishnah is Rebbe, just as by grain he holds, there's tevel in this manner. Likewise, by beans, but according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, how did you know? Perhaps just as by grain, there is no tevel in this manner. Likewise, by beans. E Rebbe says, the more, if this would be Rebbe, then how do we understand the Mishnah? Why would the Mishnah discuss Tilson? My area Tilson. Why would you pick Tilson as an example to highlight, to present this halacha? That even bundles can have a din tevel according to Rebbe. I feel a shibbolim nami. The Mishnah could have cited a greater chiddush. Even stalks of grain would have the same concept. That's a greater chiddush. Even grain which isn't generally consumed in this manner. So if it's Rebbe, why pick the lesser chiddush? Should have gone for the greater chiddush. Elamai Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. So what do you want to say? It's Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. And he even agrees that it's tevel because beans are different and consumed in this manner. Lishmina Sharmina Kitnius. Why wouldn't the Mishnah discuss other types of legumes of beans? Bekoshkan Tilson, and certainly Tilson would be self-understood, meaning Rashi explains that kitnius is something which is very often just tossed into the pot as is, with the stems and stalks intact. Because, as we're going to learn soon, that the Tilson branch itself also contains the same flavor as the seeds. The Mishnah should have said a greater chiddush. Even kidneys, ordinary beans, according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, considered Gemar Melacha if he plans on consuming it right off the stalk. Had the Mishnah said that, we certainly would derive that Tilson is included in that halacha, because Tilson is something which is very often used in this manner. So that's the kasha. If it's Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, we should have discussed a different case, which is a greater chiddush. Says more, apparently, this Mishnah is really Rebbe. And Rebbe is the one that holds that Meidel Melila is by grain, by ordinary stalks, is called Gemar Melacha, is considered Tevel, and therefore by the Tosan as well. It's all Rabbi Shita. You have no right that Rabbi Yosef Rida would agree by Kitnias. It's all Rabbi, perhaps. What was the question? So why discuss Tosan to bring out the halacha of Rabbi? We should have mentioned a greater chiddush. Even grain, even stalks, shibalim have the same halacha. Elo Tosan, it's trichla. You know why we mentioned Tosan? Because that contains a chiddush. Sakadai dachamina, perhaps I can think, hoil v'tam eitzei, upir yishavim. Since the Tosan plant has a unique feature, where the eitz and the pri have the same flavor, the stem and the seed contain similar flavor. Therefore, when it comes to doing truma, I would think, you have to account for these stems as well. Live first, namia eitzei, you have to separate truma from the wood part as well, because they both serve as a seasoning. Kamashmon, the chiddush is no. Fact is, this is edible, this isn't edible. So there really isn't a right to Abaye. Once again, Abaye says that the machlokes applies to grain. Rabbi says, melilis is called gemar melacha. Rabbi says, really disagrees. But when it comes to kidneys, which we very often find people using in this manner, all agree it's gemar melacha. We thought we had a raya. We find a Mishnah that Tilson is considered tevel even while it's still in its stem stalk form. Conclusion is no. Perhaps it's Rebbe speaking. Which is why you mentioned Tilson and not other items, not stalks of grain, etc. Because Tilson contains an added chiddush, a truma related chiddush. You don't have to account for the stems within your truma, hafrash. Ikidami, there's another version of Abaye. Am Abaye, Machlokes b'shibol. The Machlokes applies only to stalks of wheat, of grain. Rebbe says, Moilu Malilis is considered conventional enough. It's called Gmar Malach. Rebbe Yisrael says, no, that's not the way it's ordinarily done. That's not called Dogan, it's not called finished grain. Ava Bekidnis, when it comes to legumes, beans, where nobody generally consumes them in this manner. Divrei Hakol all agree is surais or tavla. Stalks, while they're still in their stems, all agree it's not going to become tevel. It's not considered a finished product. Interesting, Teza says, we never find in the entire Shas that one version of the Gemara would totally overturn the previous version, like in our Gemara. The first lashon we have that kitnius certainly is called Gemar Malach. The second lesson we say just the opposite. Kitnias all agree it's not called Gemar Malach. Continues Gemara. Meisve. Let's have a kasha on Abaye's second version. Abaye's second version was when it comes to kitnias, all agree this is not the way to process it. There is no tevel involved. Mi shahil chavila tilson. This is the Mishnah we just mentioned. He had bundles of tilson. Shel tevel. What does he do? Harid kaisish. So he crushes, he extracts the seeds. Umachashiv. And who reckon kama zera ish ben, how many seeds there are? Who mafresh al zera? Who do truma on the zera? Vein mafresh al eitz. He doesn't have to do truma on the wood aspect. So that's the Mishnah. My love, should we not assume when the Mishnah speaks about the bundles being tevel, tevel, tevel shal truma? It's tevel in the owner's, in the farmer's hands. Meaning, it's the conventional type of tevel. Finished product that the farmer has to separate truma from, apparently. Even grain, even seeds, seasoning in this form is considered tevel. It's a kasha on Abaye who says that according to all shittas, when it comes to anything other than grain, you don't apply this halacha to. It says, well, light, no. Tevel, tevel, shal trumas masa. If it would be in the hands of the owner, of the farmer, that's not considered finished grain, it's not considered dogon, there is no tevel. Rather, we're speaking about a unique type of tevel, stage 2 of tevel. Tevel, which is a tevel for trumas maser. What does this mean? What happened was that instead of the farmer giving the truma and maser in proper order, he meant to start with truma gedoyla to the kohen, then maserishin to the levi, who turns around and takes a tenth of his maserishin and gives that to the kohen, that's trumas maser. What happened was the levi jumped the gun, he arrived early. And the farmer gave maserishin to the levi first. And he came when it was still in its stalk form. We're going to learn in the Gemara later that there's a chiddush we learn from a pasuk. And when it comes to maserishin, it can be applied even to grain or seeds or beans in their stalk form, even though they're as yet an unfinished product. And you know, the Chiv Terumah Gedolah has not yet even been activated at this point. It's not a finished product, but the Levi can go ahead of the Kohen, come early and take his portion. And once that happens, what you give the Levi, it becomes Maaser Rishon to the extent that it turns into Tevel with respect to the Terumah's Maaser contained in it. Meaning that the Levi can't exempt himself from Terumah's Maaser by saying, well, it's an unfinished product, there's no Tevel yet. Well, you took it as Maaser Rishon. You've indicated that this is considered something that Terumah's Maaser applied to. So once that happens, he has to turn around and give a tenth of his Maaser Rishon to the Kohen as Terumah's Maaser. So that's what we're speaking about in this case. So it's not ordinary Tevel. Ordinary Tevel wouldn't apply to an unfinished product. The farmer has not chayiv in Terumah's Maaser at this point, when it's still in the bundle form. But if it so happened to be that he jumped ahead and gave the Levi his chelik, which works, we learn that from the pasuk, that portion now has a din Tevel, which means that the Terumah's Maaser aspect within that Maaser Rishon becomes activated and has to be given to the Kohen. So the Maloi, not your typical Tevel. Tevel, Tevel, Shetumas Maas, Ukderavo, Omer B'Shem Malakish. Just as the Ravo tells us, name of Shem Malakish, Dom Rabbi Vo, Omer B'Shem Malakish, Maas and Rishon, Sheik Dima B'Shibon, the farmer, went ahead of the order. When Shalik is Seder, he was Magdim, he gave the Maas Rishon in advance. He gave it while still B'Shibon, before the Chiv of Terumah Gedolah was even activated. The fact is, he called it Maaser Rishon, he gave it to the Levi, that in itself generates a Shem Tevel, which means that the Chelik HaKohen within that Maaser Rishon, that 10%, that Terumah's Maaser becomes activated, and the Levi has to give that Chelik to the Kohen. So again, the Kasha was, Abaye tells us that unfinished beans, kidneys, can be considered chayiv for Terumah's Maaser. Sorry, Abaye said when it comes to beans, all agree. If it's unfinished, there's no Terumah, there's no Tevel. Here we have a Mishnah, which seems to indicate otherwise. Tera says no. We're speaking on a unique case. We gave it to the Levi in advance of the Kohen. That in itself generates a new, unique type of Tevel. So, in conclusion, when do we say that L'moylulam b'melila turns into Tevel? So we have grain, shibbolon, we have kidneys, beans, seeds for seasoning. Now we had a machlokes Rebbe and Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, and two versions of Abaye. In version one, when it comes to shibbolon, ordinary grain, Rebbe says, moilam b'melilos, that's good enough to be considered a finished product, and there's a chiv of Terumah Maaser. According to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, that's not called daga, there's no chiv of Terumah Maaser. However, when it comes to kidneys, which many people will eat in this manner, that's considered finished enough, and chayiv and Terumah Maaser. According to version 2 of Abaye, machlokes applies only to shibbolon, stalks of grain. When it comes to kidneys, all agree, that's not considered a proper way of consumption, that's not called gemar malach, that's not called dagan, and there is no din tevel. We concluded that in a case where the Levi beat the Kohen to the farm, and he took his portion while it was still in its stalk form, that in itself turns into tevel, that gives a chashivas, in which case the Levi has to turn around and give 10% of his Maaser Rishon to the Kohen in the form of Terumah's Maaser. Continues the Gemara. Kaisish. So we learn that this Mishnah, which discusses the bundles of Tilsim as being Chayiv and Tevel, is not speaking about your conventional Tevel. Rather, it was given to the Levi prematurely. And the Levi has to turn around, crush the grain, and hand over a portion of that to the Kohen in the form of Terumah's Maaser. Kaisish. Why does he have to crush and process it? Lamali, Lamali. Why does he have to do that? Kaisish Lamali. Lamali, the Levi can turn to the Kohen and say, look, how did I get my portion? In stalk form, unprocessed. I'll take a portion of that and give it to you in the same state. Why do I have to become a grain processor? Lamali can turn to the Kohen and say, Keichad Yavali. Just as they gave me my chelik in an unprocessed form, I'll give it to you in the same manner. Amarava Knas, it was a penalty applied to the Levi. What are you doing? beating the kohen to the farm. Don't you know you meant to take your master's rishon only after the kohen came to take his portion? So it's a knas. You have to trouble yourself, process it, and give it to the kohen. Perhaps the kohen would have come in time, and he would have gotten it after processing. Why are you beating him to it and taking it while it's still raw, and now he's going to have to go process it himself? No, so you have to go finish it, process it, and give it to the kohen. Tanna mihach, we have a right from our b'raisa to this halacha. Ben Levi shenas nuloi shibol b'maas reisav. If the Levi was given his master in stalk form, oisin goyren. Levi has to go process it into a goyren, into a finished grain, and then give the chelik to the kohen. Likewise, anavim. If he took grapes prematurely, oisin yain, has to process it into wine, and then give it to the kohen. Zeisim, if he took olives before it was processed, oisin shaman. He has to turn it into oil and then give it to the kohen. Umafra shalem trumas maser. Then he takes off a tenth of his maserishin as trumas maser, v'nois in the kohen, and gives it to the kohen. Why? Shekashem shetruma gedola. Just as truma gedola, the first truma that the farmer is meant to give to the kohen, eina neteles elemen agorin, will only be separated once the grain was finished grain. Umina yekev, once the wine was fully processed, sitting in the wine pit. Kach trumas maser. Likewise, trumas maser conforms to the same guidelines. Just as truma gedola needs to be done in this manner, Rashi says, the pasuk says, dogon tirosh v'yitzah, processed product. Kach says the gemara trumas maser in the netelas el min agurin umen ayekev has to be taken from finished products. And the Farshim explains what the gemara really means is that since trumas maser has to be given the same way truma gedola is given. In this case, we trouble the Levi to actually process it himself. He can't tell the kohen, look, you want your portion, come help me process it. No, he has to do it himself because he took it prematurely. It's a knas. Okay, continues the Gemara. Mechashiv. Let's go back to the Mishnah. We say that the person taking off the truma will estimate how much he needs to separate and give it to the kohen. Now, let's think for a second. Initially, we thought that the halacha applies to the farmer. When we say the tilson becomes tevel, it means the farmer has to be mekayim ul adinim because it's tevel. So the first thing he does is truma gedola. Now truma gedola, as we're going to see soon, is separated in an estimated fashion. You don't measure, you don't weigh, you don't count. It's all estimation. That would explain why the Mishnah speaks about mechashev. You just estimate. But according to your pshat, we're not speaking about the farmer. Why? Because unfinished grain would be non-tevel as far as the farmer is concerned. Rather, the Levi came and beat the kohen to the farm. He took it in stalk from it. That's why it becomes tevel, as we explained. If it's the Levi doing the truma now, which is truma's master, that has to be measured with exactness. Mechashev? He can just estimate. How many did the boy has to measure? Truma's master has to be a tenth. Pasuk says, maser mena maser. Maser. From the word eser, has to be a tenth. Hamadidiboy, how could he just estimate? He has to measure. Hamani, who's speaking in this Mishnah? Abba Lozer ben Gimel, it's a new shita, the Sanya. Abba Lozer ben Gimel Omer. The same concept, the same manner, which you mafresh truma gedola by estimation, applies to truma's master as well. V'nechshav lechem trumaschem. Torah says, your trumas will be nechshav, and the drush is b'shtei trumas akosav medaber. We're speaking about both types of trumas. Achas truma gedola that the farmer separates for the kohen, v'achas trumas maser that the Levi separates for the kohen, and we compare the two trumas. Ma kishem she truma gedola, just as truma gedola in the telos ba'oymedu machshav, just as truma gedola is not going to be measured with exactness. It's given by estimation. Oimid. Torah doesn't give a shear. Torah says, Reishis de Goncha. Give a little bit. Chacham actually gave a shear. A 40th, a 50th, a 60th. But in Torah, there is no exact shear. Umachshav. Not only that. You can actually designate Truma Gedola by simply thinking. You can make remote control Truma Gedola. You don't have to actually physically separate in order for it to be Chal Hashem Truma Gedola. So just as that applies to Truma Gedola, Kach Trumas Maser, likewise, but Trumas Maser follows the same guidelines and tell us, Bo'imet, Machshav will be separate by way of estimation and simply by way of Machshav. So we're following this sheet of Abed Lozer ben Gimel, and therefore when it comes to Trumas Maser as well, Mishnah mentions Machshav. Goof, let's go back for a minute. Amar Bavo and Mashem Alokush. Maserishin Shedima Bishibalan. If the farmer separated Maserishin when it was still prematurely, it was still premature, it was still in its stalk form. Shmoy Toivle Tumas Maser. The fact that he called it Maserishin, that activates the Tevel status pertaining to the Trumas Maser element found within the Maserishin, as we explained earlier. My time, how does this work? Why would you say that? Amar Rava, Hoyle V'yotzel of Shem Maser. Because it got a title. It was titled Maser. We're going to see soon in the Psukim, the Torah introduces a new type of Maser. Even if it was separated prematurely, in advance of the Kohen, in advance of the Gemara Malacha even, it's considered Maserishin. And therefore, says the Gemara, once it's called Maserishin, what does the Pasuk say? When Levi gets Maserishin, what does he have to do? Give a tenth to the Kohen. Maser mena maser. So once it's considered Maser, you have to take a tenth and give it to the Kohen. Amar Rav Shimon Malakish, Maserishin shekdima b'shibol. The Maserishin was separated while it was still in a stalk form, before it was finished, before it got the chiv of Truma at all, Potter Matruma Gedolah. Going forward, this Maserishin will be exempt from Truma Gedolah. So the Levi actually saved on it. Because had he waited for the Kohen to take his portion from the granary, he would have only gotten 10% of the remainder. So he jumped the gun. He went ahead of the Kohen. Wasn't supposed to do it. But if he did it, the portion that he gets, the Maserishin that's given to him, in stalk form, is exempt from Truma Gedolah. So all he needs to do is turn around and give 10% of that to the Kohen, but that's it. He doesn't have to address the Truma Gedolah within it. Because it's part of Shenemar. Varimoy, semimenu Trumas Hashem, Mas, semina Mas. Pasuk says that the Maserishin given to the Levi has an element of Trumas Maser. Varimoyse mimenu, we have to separate from the Maserishin, Trumas Hashem, Maser mena Maser, a tenth of that tenth. We learn from here. Maser mena Maser matilcha. You only separate once, a tenth of that, that's it. V'loy Trumas Gedolah, Trumas Maser mena Maser, but not two separate separations. The Levi is only obligated to give 10% Trumas Maser, but not Trumas Gedolah. Omer Rav Papa L'Abaye, says Rav Papa T'Abaye Ihachi, if we have a pas, the Levi is only obligated to give one thing to the Kohen, and not two. Afilu Gdima B'Kri Nami. Suppose the Levi advanced the Kohen. He came before the Kohen, but the grain has already been finished product. It's already a Kri, it's piled up. All the Chiyuv, Matrumas, and Masas have been activated, it's full-fledged legal Tevel. Perhaps even then, once the Levi grabs his portion, he'll be part of a Truma Gedolah. We have a pasuk that all he needs to give to the Kohen is Truma Maser. Amalei Abayi responds, Olecha Makor, that's why the pasuk says, Mikol Maser Seichem Terimu, Es Kol Truma Hashem. It's a ribuy. Now in this case, no, it's too late. You came when it was ready in the grain form, it was ready Tevel, it was ready Chiyuv Truma Gedolah. You can't uproot that Chiyuv just because you took your portion and left. You have to turn around and give the Kohen his Truma Gedolah, which was already activated before you arrived. That's what we learn from this next pasuk. Mikol Maser Seichem, Terim Es Kol Trumas Hashem. Umaros, how do you know it's applying to this case? Hay Idgan, very simple. In this case, it was too late. It was already dug, it was already finished grain. The Chiyuv of Trumas has been activated. You can't just relieve it of its Chiyuv. Vayle Idgan. But when he arrived, when it was still on its stalk farm, it was still prior to having achieved the Dugan status. And that's what we learn from the pasuk. If you take his portion at that point, all he has to do is Trumas Maser, but not Truma Gedolah. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah Maseches Masris, HaMekalef Sir, if he peeled some barley kernels, Mekalef Achas, Achas V'Oichel, he can peel one at a time and eat it right away, and be exempt from Truma Maser. It's not considered Gemara Malacha, it's Achilas Arai, it's an unfinished product. So although he's peeling it, but since he's peeling and eating one at a time, he's potter. But let's say he peeled and then placed the kernel into his hand. So once he places it down, he gives it chashivas, it's like he developed it, he produced something. That's Gemar Malacha. That's Kva. That's Chayiv and Maser. Omer Belazer v'chein the Shabbos. Here comes a Chiddush. Shabbos works along the same guidelines. So this is just a quick snack. Peeling and eating. That's fine. But if he peels and places it down, he has done a Malacha. Which Malacha? Extracting a kernel from its skin is mefarek. It's disha. And he's chayiv. Eini says the Gemara, is that so? That's considered Gemara Malacha for Shabbos as well. But Rav, look what happened in Rav's home. Mekafle dvisu, his wife would peel for him. Kasi, cupfuls on Shabbos. Apparently it's called derech achila. It's just for the sake of immediate consumption. That's not considered a proper processing job. Peeling, that's not threshing, that's not a real malacha. Peeling for immediate use, that's not a problem. Likewise, Rabbi Chiya, look what happened in his home. Mekafle dvisu kasi kasi, his wife would peel many kernels of barley, cups and cups full. Eli itmar seif itmar. Says the one you write, or Rabbi Lezer says, that it's called the Gemara Malacha of Shabbos. He wasn't referring to that case that we just mentioned. Putting down the grain after peeling it wouldn't be considered a Gemara Malacha of Shabbos. For Maser, yeah. It's sort of finished product. But he didn't really accomplish, he didn't process anything. It's not a Malacha of Shabbos. Eli itmar. Rather, if we learned Rabbi Lezer's halacha, it was a seif itmar, the next halacha. Listen to the next halacha. Amoylo melilo shalchit. Melilo is the stalks with the grain intact. So he's rolling, he's rubbing these stalks to extract the kernels. So now he has grain mixed in with the skins. He can fan it, he can blow it a little at a time. And have it like that without any concerns of truma maser. It's just achila sarai, it's just erach achila. It's not considered a finished product. Oh, listen to this. But if he bunches it up on his lap, so he's piling it up, he's processing, he's developing, he's producing something. Then it's chayv and maser. Here comes Rabbi Lezer and he says, oh, if he went this far on Shabbos, he processed. He developed. He did a malacha of disha. Amar Rabbi Lezer v'chem l'Shabbos. So again, if it's just eating one at a time, or even filling up cupfuls. So for maser, that's a problem. Because unless he eats just one at a time, anything more than that is considered a gemar malacha for maser. But when it comes to Shabbos, unless he actually piles it up, let's say chekei, it wouldn't be a problem. Maskevla Rabbi Abba Ramam. Listen to this kash. Veresha, when it comes to the first case, you're telling me there's a difference between maser, where even a slight processing job is considered enough to make tevel, as opposed to Shabbos, where you need something more significant. Veresha, in the first case, le maser in. It's only considered processed for maser, but le Shabbos le, but not pertaining to Shabbos. Can you differentiate between the two? That'll work along the same track. Is there then something the Leinian Shabbos, le have a gemar malacha, when it comes to Shabbos, it's not considered a malacha, it's not chayiv, ule maaser v'gmar malacha, and it would be considered for maser? How could you be mechalik? Maske v'lar of sheshes breidar v'idi, what do you mean? V'loi? No difference between Shabbos and maser? Totally different discussions. V'garna l'maser, let's say, you piled up your fruit, you made a garen, you made a finished product when it comes to maser. This not as you learned in the next mission. Ezu garna lamaser. Let's go through various items and figure out when is the chi of maser activated. What is considered a finished product? It doesn't need much. Hakishum vadlun, gourds, melons, mishi pax. Once the blossom falls off, finished product, tel gets activated. Vishalei paxu. Before the blossom falls off, mishiyam daremo. So he piles it up. It's considered a finished product. And chayiv and maser. But tana namig abe b'tzolim, find the same by onions. Mishiyam adarim, once he piles it up, it's considered a processed product, chayiv and maser. That's when it comes to maser. V'ilu gabi Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, nobody in the world is going to say, you pile up some fruit in your home, you chayiv. So we see they work based on different concepts. Hamadas arema pata, if you pile up a pile of fruit, vegetables, you're not chayiv, it's not a malacha. So you see that the term Gemar Malacha is defined very differently when it comes to Shabbos. Elamai Yislach L'Memer. Apparently, you have to say that Shabbos is different. Where do we learn the Malacha Yisrael Shabbos from? The fact that the Torah mentions Shabbos near Melachas HaMishkan. So the 39 Melachas, those significant acts of craftsmanship, which are done in the Mishkan, cannot be done on Shabbos. Melachas Machshavas Asur Torah. Only something which has Chashiv is a true craft is Asur on Shabbos. Piling up onions? Certainly not. Although when it comes to Maser, it's considered a finished product. Hachanami, here as well, when it comes to the peeling the grain. Melachas Machshavas Asur Torah. Although when it comes to Maser, you do something just more than the minimal processing, it's considered a finished product, a chayva Maser. But not by Shabbos. Shabbos mechma Shabbos. You need something serious. You need to create, to fashion, to form, to build. Unlike Maser, where it's just a question of designation and labeling. Once it's been designated for personal use, designated for marketing, the Chiv Maser gets activated. When it comes to Shabbos, you have to create, to fashion, you have to form, develop, produce. And therefore, in this case, we took a few kernels and peeled them, put them in his hand. Of course, it's not considered a significant processing job, and there's no Chiv on Shabbos. Continues the Merketzad Moil. So we mentioned earlier that on Yom Tov you can roll grain. As opposed to Shabbos. On Yom Tov you can roll grain. It's called Disha Kalachar Yad. L'tzerich Yom Tov T'chamu Amater. How do you do that? Abayi Mishmed Rav Yosef Omer. Chada Achada. Rashi explains, although we're allowing this, but it has to be done in a way which deviates from the norm. You can't do it the way it's done during the weekday. You have to show that it's Yom Tov. L'tzerich Yom Tov. Lest you run the risk of creating the impression that you could process on Yom Tov, you could thresh on Yom Tov. You want to do it differently. So how do you do it? What's considered deviation? Chada chada. One finger rolling against the next finger. So the thumb over the next finger. Rav Amar, given the Mishani, Rav Avya, Mishmed Rav Yosef Amar, chada tarti. The thumb over two fingers, that's also fine. Rav Amar, given the Mishani, once he's deviating, I feel like chada kulunam. Even if you take a thumb and you roll it over your entire hand, that's okay. So you don't have to limit yourself to one finger, to two fingers. You can just rub it over all the fingers. Let's move on to the next topic. So this can be done on Yom Tov, but on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do even this. But let's say you have done this before Shabbos. Now you have a mixture, kernels and skins. And we learned earlier, at the end of yesterday's daft, you can actually fan away the skins as you're about to eat it. It's not considered bayrer, because it's for immediate use. It's derech achil. How do you do this? Again, it has to be done in an unconventional manner. Ketem napeach, amrav adam rav, amrav napeach mikishre etz boisev alamal. So you hold the item at your fingertips, and you blow like that. Machakol ab marav. And it's sure they laughed on this. They didn't quite accept this dictate. They says, look, given the Mishani, once he's going to do it differently than during the weekdays, don't limit yourself to your fingertips. You can have the grain sitting in your entire hand and just blow away. That's also considered derech shinoi and acceptable for Shabbos. Elam Rav Elazar, afmanapeach b'yadei achas. You have the grain sitting in your hand, irrelevant of where it is. If it's in one hand, u'b'chal koichem, just blow and blow. And that's okay and acceptable for Shabbos as well. So we discussed several different types of extraction and separation. Let's go down the line. We had moile umelilis. The way Tosis explains, referring to extracting the kernels from the stalks themselves. Or, according to one pshat, Tosis was speaking about the kernels separated from the stalks, but they're still moist, and it involves more to get the skins off. That's called moile umelilis. Then we had koilef. So he has some kernels, dry kernels, which allow for very easy peeling. Then we have the concept of burin. How do you separate these skins from the kernels? So we discussed how to do this on Yom Tov, how to do this on Shabbos, and then we discussed how this affects the chiv of Maser. When do we say it's pata from Maser, considered just a snack, having an unfinished product? So let's go to moil first. Rolling those stalks, extract the kernels. On Yom Tov, this is mutter, tisha kalacha yad, a mutl tzerech yomtiv. How do you go about doing this? We had three opinions. Chad achad, one finger rubbing against the other. Chad atarti, against two. Or even against all his fingers, kol yodei. And again, the point is because kalacha yad and mutar yomtiv. On Shabbos, you cannot do this. And when it comes to chiyuv maser, if you have one at a time, extract one, have it, one, eat it. Next, it's achilas harayit, it's potter from maser. What about peeling grain? On yomtiv, this is mutar. It's a tzerech hayayim. It's no worse than butter, which is mutter. It's even better than butter. He has to get to the kernel hidden beneath that skin. So peeling is mutter if it's a tzerech hayayim. When it comes to Shabbos, we had a chiddush that it's mutter as well. It's considered derech achila, just taking off the peel, the klipa, to get to the item. And the chiddush was, even if he fills more than just one at a time, even filling a kais is mutter, but b'chei that's already considered producing something, that large amount would be considered a malacha of dash. Likewise, when it comes to maser, we say that if he has one at a time, peels and eats, that's called achilas arayim potter from maser. Anything more than that would be considered a finished product with respect to maser. I'll be asr b'achilu, considered tefil. How do you go about doing butter? So once he rolled and peeled, now he has a mixture of the kernel with the skins. So on Yom Tov, any amount needed for today can be separated. As we learned yesterday, you can use even a tool, a kanon, a tamchui, because it's mutter for Yom Tov use. However, on Shabbos, you can't use a tool. It has to be done totally manually. Menapeach, the Gemara's maskana was menapeach biyode achas of b'chol koychay. You hold it in one hand, and you blow and blow. That's what even on Shabbos is considered derech achil. Okay, let's make a brief chazor of today's daf. We discussed moilulim b'malilais. So again, we have these stalks with the grain intact. The question is whether it's considered a gemar malacha if you should choose to consume it in that manner. We have two versions of the machlokes. According to Abai's first version, we draw a distinction between shibolim, stalks of grain, which aren't generally used in this manner. So Rebbe says, even so, he decides to eat it in this manner. It's called gemar malacha, and it's chayiv and maser. According to Rebbe Yehuda, it's not considered doga, it's not considered finished grain, there's no chayiv. But when it comes to kidneys, beans, that's different. People use it in this manner, and it would be considered tevel. According to the second version of Abaye, when it comes to kidneys, all agree it's not tevel, because it's not meant to use in this manner. We learned that there's one unique case where, according to all shittas, even unfinished product can be considered tevel. That's if the levi happens to beat the kohen to the farm. He took his maserishin while the items were still in their stalk form. We learned from a pasuk that the shem maserishin gets applied, and now he has to turn around and give the Trumas Maser embedded in his Maserishin to the Kohen. Concluded with several halachas regarding peeling and boyer and the difference between Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Maser. And the Gemara did make a very fundamental point here that the definition of Gemar Malacha when it comes to Maser is a matter of designation, of purpose. It's prepared for personal use. That's considered Gemar. But when it comes to Shabbos, you have to create something. It's an act of craftsmanship. And therefore, even though you can have something which is considered processed for maser, but unless you really did a significant maser of melechas machsheves, it's pater on Shabbos. Kol tov to you and much atzlocha.